Greetings in Jesus' precious name this morning. I've been tremendously blessed this morning. I'm very thankful to be here. I truly mean that. It's been a real blessing. The line stood out to me, Jesus reigns and heaven rejoices. That's exciting to me this morning that Christ reigns and that we can be a part of his kingdom. Just really appreciated all the songs. It was a real blessing to me this morning. And also what Andy shared there goes very well with what I'm wanting to share here this morning. I'm going to have a lot of scripture here this morning, but I think that's going to best bring out the point that I want to bring out this morning. But it says, yeah, he was just reading about that account there. They were in the ship, and Christ spoke the word, peace be still, and the sea was calmed. This morning I would like to, if you want a title for these few thoughts that I have here, I just titled it God and His Word. I'm sure we could come up with something more profound than that, but it's a God and His Word is powerful, and here we see Christ spoke the word, peace be still, that's all He said, and the sea was calmed. His voice is powerful. His word is powerful. And I'm thankful for that this morning. If we could turn to Psalm 48 for a text or something to start with this morning. I'll read the whole psalm. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled, and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain is of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad, because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And my heart this morning here is to, first of all, bring out the greatness of God, how great God is. He is great and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, is what it says in 1 Chronicles 16:25. And to me, it's just been very meaningful lately to think of God's greatness, just how mighty and powerful He is. And yet He can be so... He cares for us so much. He comes down to our level, and He cares for our smallest details in life. He cares for them. As we read this psalm, it says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." It says, "Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments." And then the last verse says, "For this God that it's been explaining here, this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." And that's a promise. He will be our guide. If we are part of His kingdom, He will be our guide even unto death. My mind is full this morning, and I feel a little scattered here with all these thoughts. There's so much in this whole subject of God's greatness and His Word and how powerful His Word is and everything, that I'm only barely scratching the surface. But we sing the song sometimes, "Oh, who is like Jehovah God? To whom can we compare?" We can't compare Him to anything. There's nothing in this earth that comes close. Not even just almost close. He's so much greater than anything else we could ever imagine. He is pure. He is holy and righteous, and He is without sin. With God, all things are possible. If we can turn to Psalm 145, I have a few verses there I'd like to read. Again, here we see just how great God is, and it about sometimes almost makes the feeling inside of me when I get excited about these things, it almost overwhelms me to the point where I can almost not take it because it is so amazing to me. But we'll start in verse 1. I'll see how far I read here. "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." His greatness is unsearchable. It is we cannot fully understand his greatness on this earth. We can try. We can learn more of him, and we desire to, and we want to continue to seek him. But we will never completely understand his greatness till we come to eternity. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all." I'm reading in verse 8 and 9 here. "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations." That verse stands out to me. Verse 13 there says, "Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom." His kingdom will never end. The victory has been won. There is no way that anyone can ever overtake that kingdom. And if we're part of that kingdom, we should be excited. We should be excited about being a part of that kingdom. The Lord is faithful and he is true to all. It just came to me now. I can't remember where that verse is, and I'm not sure if I can recite it. But the Lord is a jealous God, and he deserves all this. He says, if you can help me out, somewhere he says that I am the Lord. I am that I am, something to that effect. He is the Lord. He deserves all our praise. He is a jealous God, and he wants all of our hearts, not just a part of our heart, but he wants everything we have. He has given so much for us, and we can never give him what he has given to us, but can we give him our all, our everything? I find myself sometimes with the busyness of life, we can come to a place where these earthly things can kind of distract us and maybe get us to a place where we don't view God the way that he should be viewed. These things become important to us. Excuse me. These things become important to us sometimes, these earthly things, and yet can we lay those things aside and take time for the kingdom of God? Are we going throughout our day, do we think about his greatness and his power and his might. Now I'd like to look a little bit more at his word, the power of his word. He spoke the earth into existence. His word is powerful. It is limitless. There's nothing that limits God, and there's nothing that keeps him from doing what he does. He made the blind to see. He could just speak a word and the blind would see. The lame could walk and the lepers were healed. But what about our lives, our spiritual lives? He can speak the word and forgive us, and he can wash us and cleanse us. But have we allowed him to do that in our lives? Has that regeneration happened in our lives? And do we continue to be drawn closer to him? His word is powerful, and like Andy said, I think he said something to the effect of, this word is full of promises, great and precious promises. Have we taken this, and is this precious to us? Is this become a part of our lives to where it, every time we think of it, it makes us excited about the kingdom of God? Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." It is an everlasting kingdom, like we read. There's no way that it can ever be destroyed. It shall stand forever. Throughout all eternity, it will stand. If we could turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and then we'll read verse 23 through 25. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." If we're born again, we're not born again of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the word of God. The word of God is how we're born again, through the word of God. And this word of God liveth and abideth forever. It is alive. It's a living word. It's not just some written letter, but it's a living word that can change our lives. It can draw us closer to God. And again, here we read in verse 25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." Again, we hear that, endureth forever. It will last forever. It's everlasting. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Here again, the word of God is quick, or it's alive, it's living, it's powerful, it's mighty, it can change our lives, it can change others' lives. Do we have a desire for the Word of God? Are we longing for that Word of God that is so alive and powerful? Do we find it a joy in the morning when we get up to take that Word and to read and to be fed and to realize that it is alive and it's powerful? It has become more precious to me the last while. I've purposely tried to take more time for that, and it has really been a blessing to sit down and to think of reading this word. And It's not the same easy every morning. It's not that it comes without discipline. But it truly is a precious thing to be able to have the Word of God and to read it. It's different than just reading a book. It's reading a living Word. And some of these thoughts also come from the fact of, we shared a while back about that young lady in Bolivia there that had was so excited about the Word of God, and just to think of these people. But why are we sometimes not more excited about this? We know so much more, and yet it seems like we're less excited. At least in my life, I find myself sometimes that way. And it just motivated me to pay more attention to that. How am I doing in that? Am I excited about the Word of God? For the rest of the time here, I'd like to go to Psalm 119. And a lot of you know that psalm fairly well, I'm sure. But there's a lot about the law of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, just referring to the Word of the Lord. And I'm just going to read some portions in here, quite a few verses, and make a few comments as I go. We'll start in verse 1, Psalm 119, verse 1, and then I'll read through 24, and then some throughout the psalm as well. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Here we see, blessed are the undefiled. Blessed are the ones that walk in the law of the Lord, that meditate on His Word. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learnt Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. In verse 2 here we read, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Wholeheartedly seeking God and His Word and searching out His Word, we will find many precious things. We will find many precious promises that we heard about this morning already. And these people that are blessed, that do these things, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways, in God's ways. And verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts, and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. This portion here is really special. How can a young man cleanse his way? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. And then it says in verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. I believe if we spend more time in the Word, there's more, much more, we will end up having a lot more victory in our lives too. It says, I have hid Thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Verse 17 says, deal bountifully with Thy servant, that I may live, and keep Thy word. Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not Thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto Thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from Thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept Thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but Thy servant did meditate in Thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Verse 18 says, open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And that said, that tells me that there is wondrous things to behold in the law of the Lord. Wondrous things. This is a verse that has been very special to me in the last year, maybe even longer. But it's a prayer that many times before I open the word that I pray, that God would open my eyes that I could behold wondrous things out of his law. It has been very precious to me in that way. Verse 20 is something that I have challenged myself with. Does my soul truly break for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times? Do I find that in my life? Do I long after the command, the judgments of the Lord, after the word of God? Do I long for that? Then in we'll jump over to verse 89. I'll read some verses here. Verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances. For all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." Verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Here again we see, it's forever. His word is everlasting, his kingdom is everlasting, and he is unchanging. The Lord is unchanging, his word is unchanging. It is established, and it will last forever. Verse 103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And I don't know who shared this. I don't know if it was here or elsewhere. Somehow I can't remember right now. But somebody shared about, maybe it was at the Keystone Couples Night, about honey. He shared some of that. And honey was something real special back in those days, as far as I understand. And here David uses that as a comparison. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." It is sweeter, much more precious. Is that truly reality in our lives? Is God's word a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Do we know the word of God, and do we read the word of God enough to where that truly lights our pathway and leads us? And then 113 and 114 there, I'll quickly read those two verses as well. It says, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word." Just a few verses that stood out to me as well. And then, try to move on here. Verses 129 to, let's see how far I read here. "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of men, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down my eyes, because they keep not thy law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Here again, we see it several times. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. It is everlasting, and thy law is truth. It is all truth. We do not need to doubt that. It is the inspired word of God, and we can trust that that is the true word of God. And then in verse 144, it says, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. It uses the word everlasting again. Thy testimonies are wonderful. In verse 140, it says, thy word is very pure. It is the pure word of God. It is pure and righteous. It's holy. And then in verse 130, it says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And it just, I don't know exactly what all that means, but I just, to me, it was just a blessing to see again that it giveth understanding unto the simple. It doesn't need to be someone that is very knowledgeable about the Bible. But if someone takes God at his word, it can truly change lives. It can change lives that are in darkness and in sin. If they take the word of God, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And I think anyone can... Yeah, the word of God is powerful. It can change lives. Then we'll read verse 160 to 165 yet. It says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Here again, thy word is true from the beginning, and it will endure forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There's much more that we could say on this subject, God's greatness. I just trust that somehow this could have been a blessing. My heart is that God's name would be honored and glorified. He is worthy of our praise, and he's worthy of our lives, of our all. He is great and mighty, and his greatness is unsearchable. If we can keep that in mind, and we can keep our eyes fixed on him, and truly seek his word, and find it to be sweeter than honey to our mouth, and that it would be our meditation all the day, I think this will truly change our lives, and it will cause us to tremble before God and help us realize that we are very small and weak compared to God. We sang that song this morning, my God, great God, how infinite art thou, how poor and weak are we. Just the comparison, just realizing that God is so great and we are so small, and yet he cares for us, and he desires to have a relationship with us, and he desires to prosper us. It's exciting to me. Jesus reigns and heaven rejoices. Thank you, and God bless each one of you.